It's good to be with you this morning. You probably wonder why the podium or this stick stool is raised up. You see, when you get my age, you got three lenses. And if it was down there, I couldn't read my notes. So I said, we got to raise this thing up, you know. That's what happens when you get old like me. But anyway, I said to someone the other day, I used to think 80's old. It's not near as old as I thought it was. We're gradually approaching it, you know. But it's good to be here. Always glad to hear how things are going at Pekin Bible. And a lot of memories over the years. I think back the folks that worked with me. Some of you remember Gene Rose. And him and I one summer spent a lot of time here when we were between pastors. And those were great times. He's in glory now. And he passed away at 80 years of age. And then just last night, a couple nights ago, we had one of the fellows that we went to school with at Ozark Bible Institute, Jack Masterson, 80 years of age. Something about 80, I got to watch this. He went home to be with the Lord. He was a missionary in Brazil for 32 years and lived in Lavaca, Arkansas. In fact, I just said to my wife, I talked to him about a couple months ago. I said to my wife, when we go down south this year, we got to go see Jack. And that ain't going to work. I got to go to heaven to see Jack, you know. But God took him home. So we're losing a lot of our friends at our age. We know that. But, you know, we're going home. And like the song just said, it's exciting. Well, I want to talk to you something. People ask me what I'm doing. I'm still working. So don't worry about it, you know. That's what happens when you retire. The only thing I don't have to mess with is people. Administration, I mean, you know. But other than that, I just keep working. I still work all the time. And I see my wife in a horizontal position when I leave home in the morning at 6 o'clock. And she's in a vertical position when I come home at 5 because supper's on the table. So that's my life. And I'm still working at Victory Acres and downtown at the mission doing building projects, international ministry stuff, as well as a lot of the maintenance and rebuilding cars for families and missionaries and pastors. And so if you see me running around Pekin, picking up an old car, it's either I got it donated or some widow lady's car is broke down. I'm hauling it out to Victory Acres, see if we can fix it. If we don't come back with it, you know we couldn't fix it. So that's kind of where we're at. So I probably got caught in Pekin yesterday. I had to pick up one. But it's good to be here. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at several texts this morning. But our main text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to look at about 8 verses there. But I want to talk to you this morning about what I see in Christianity today, in the evangelical church as well, and even in our own individual lives, the missing link. Now, you watch the TV program, The Missing Link, right? And you never seen that one. Well, I never watched it because I didn't want to find out what The Missing Link was. But anyway, the missing link in the evangelical church today, I see, it's called meditation. I did a Bible study with a group of men for the last 8-10 weeks, and we were talking about this subject of meditation. Do we really know what meditation is? And it's not something that's new, but it's a lost art within the church. Most people don't know what I'm talking about. When people talk about meditation today, they think about yoga. Now, if you're practicing yoga, I tell you to stop it. I'm just going to be blunt. You can't produce any evidence of the use of it from Scripture. Yoga is based on the religion of Buddha, some guru, you know, and they tell you you need to transcend and empty your mind. You can't find any biblical truth for that foundation. God says, fill your mind with truth, not empty it. Anytime you empty yourself and your mind, you're opening it at the devil's playground. He will fill it with everything you don't want. So it's very dangerous. And so you'll pray about it, think it through if you're messing with it, because it's a bad omen. Meditation is based on a biblical relationship with God. Biblical meditation is an antidote to the unprecedented age in which we live today. We wonder why there's so many nervous breakdowns. We wonder why there's so much emotional problems. It's because we're not meditating on the right thing. I want you to think back. Some of you probably read her biography. Harriet Tubman was a colored lady, was in slavery, and she escaped from her slave master in 1849 and spent a number of years getting people out of slavery. And in fact, she got hundreds of out of slavery, and she never lost a victim. And then her code name, if you study her background, her name was, I thought was very unique, her name was Moses. And the interesting thing about her, she became a spy for the Union Army behind the enemy lines. And she donated her life to that ministry till after the war. Never lost a victim. But the interesting thing about her was that when she would go to wash her hands in the old horse trough, she would remind herself of the scripture that she memorized, God, cleanse my heart, wash me, make me whiter than snow, take the evil thoughts from my mind. She applied biblical truths to everything that she did. And so it was interesting that about her life, God challenges us that we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. We need to realize that a mind without a relationship with God is a very dark place, very lonely situation. You see, the heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And that's why it's important we meditate upon the things of God. The word meditation in Scripture, I came across this article by J.R. Packard. And I want you to think real clearly now as I quote this. Meditation is a lost art today. And Christian people suffer grievously from their ignorance of the practice. Meditation is the activity of calling to mind, thinking over, dwelling on, applying oneself to the various things that one knows about the work and the ways and the purpose and promises of God. That's not yoga. Now think about that for a moment. Meditation is an activity calling to mind, thinking over, dwelling on, applying oneself to the various things that one knows about the works and the ways and the purposes and promises of God. It's an activity of holy thought, consciously performed in the presence of God, under the eye of God, by the help of God, as a means of communicating with God. Wow. Now that's what the whole dump truck load is right there. That's meditation. The Scripture tells us that meditation is called pondering. Many, many scripture verses God has recorded for us from His Word. How do I have the thoughts of God? How do I have the mind of God? How do I have these things? How can I call them to remembrance? Well, it's a hereditary factor in a sense. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, God tells us very clearly this. Now, this is the commandment. This is a direct command from God. Now, you're right away, someone's going to say, well, that's Old Testament. I'm in the New Testament. A lot of this scripture was quoted by Jesus himself in the New Testament. But the foundation is all the way back here in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, now this is a commandment that the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your sons and your grandsons might fear the Lord your God. Wow. Three generations he's talking about right here. The effect of knowing the statutes and the truths of God's Word and meditating upon them, thinking about them, spending time with God alone with them, he says you pass it on to your sons and your grandsons and down the line. To keep all his statutes, all his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Now you want a long life? This is some of the basic principles. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord your God, your Father, has promised you in the land of flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You heard this verse before? Quoted by Jesus himself. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said might here, but the New Testament says mind. And then he says, you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk with them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and you shall be a footless on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Wow. Now think about it for a moment. You probably would sum this guy up that did this as a holy Joe, right? He'd be a guy that constantly meditates and thinks about the things of God in the marketplace, in his home, in his quiet time. It saturates his life. And so we need to ask ourselves, is the things of God saturating my mind? What is it I think about when I go out them doors? What is it I think about when I'm in the marketplace? What is it I think about when I'm at work? Yes, I could do my job. But what is it that goes through my mind? I remember a businessman one morning in our Bible study said, you know, the battle I face, and he's honest about it. He says, the battle I face, I can talk about these things in Bible study. I can talk about it in church. But when I get out in real life, practicing is where the battle comes. That's why it's important that we saturate our minds with the truth of God's Word. God's Word has to become like duct tape. Do you ever get duct tape on your hands and try to get rid of it? It's almost impossible sometimes. I mean, we use duct tape for about everything, you know. But it just seems like it sticks to where you don't want it to stick. It's kind of like the curse of saran wrap in the kitchen. Whoever made that stuff, folks, let me tell you, I hate it. I can't put saran wrap on anything. And I can't, my wife will wrap something up for me in saran wrap, and I just get furious trying to get it off. Because I want to get at what she's wrapped up. But I hate the stuff. I don't know where they got it. But they got it. Get a Ziploc bag and stick it in so I can open it, okay? All right. But he's saying we need to saturate ourselves with this. Now, it's interesting to note the word meditation or meditation occurs 21 times in Scripture. The word to think, thinking, thoughts appears 252 times. The mind is mentioned 163 times. Apparently, the mind has something to do with spiritual growth and maturity, doesn't it? Ponder appears 9 times. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Psalms 19:4, let the word of my mouth and the meditations of thy sight be acceptable in thy sight. God demands this of us, that we saturate ourselves with the truth of God's word. Now, let's just notice some of the characters that meditated. If you read the Old Testament, you find Isaac spent time in meditation with God. Joshua spent time meditating, Jeremiah, Mary, Jesus himself, Paul in Philippians 4:8, and even in Hebrews 4:1. Biblical meditation is important because of the darkness of the mind. And the only way that we can do properly meditation, not through yoga classes and all that kind of stuff, it's by, first of all, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it's important we introduce people to Jesus, because if we don't, there's no way that they can think proper. They're doing all these other things trying to become spiritual, and they never will become spiritual. That's why in prayer this morning and songs we sung, it's important that we do what God commissioned and commanded us to do, go make disciples. And so it's the key of the Christian life. You know, any opportunity we have during the day and we make available, it's amazing how God works in that way. Now, I spend quite a bit of time in a shop, and sometimes it's 12 hours a day. Sometimes I'm alone, and if you came by, you probably think you need to call the nut house, because I talk to God out loud. I literally talk to God out loud. And we have a running conversation all the time. Most of the time when I can't fix it, I said, God, I need some wisdom. Come on, bail me out, you know. But it's interesting how if you got the mind of God and thinking about the things of God, what'll happen in your life? I was in the shop just recently one day, and the door opens. This dude walks in. I don't know this guy from Adam. And he said, I said, can I help you? And he wanted something. I forgot what. Oh, he said, do you pick up old cars? I said, well, yeah. Where is it? It wasn't too far from home. It was in Bartonville. I said, yeah, I'll be up and get it. I take anything. I don't turn nothing down, you know. The only thing I don't take is used mother-in-laws, you know, because mine went to heaven, so I'm free, you know. But anyway, we never had any arguments, by the way, so don't feel bad. But I just looked at him. I said, well, how did you know about us? Oh, he said, I just heard by the grapevine you did this. And I said, well, by the way, what church do you go to? And, well, you don't go to any church. But he was reading and studying C.S. Lewis. And he was meditating daily hours on the Word of God. And all by himself, you know, he just was saturating himself with it. And he was very knowledgeable. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. And so I shared with him some churches close to where he could go that he get fed. And I saw him in church once after that in one of the churches. I don't know what he's looking for, but he's probably looking for a perfect church. And he showed up, so it wasn't. But, you know, I don't know where you're going to find that. But what I'm saying is meditation needs to be a habit on biblical truths. We need to have a period of time in our lives when we just read the Word, study the Word, and then pray and just think it through. Think it through. And we don't do that anymore. We're so geared up today with cell phones and computers and electronics that there's no place for God so much. And if it isn't cell phones and electronics, it's sports. The American God is sports. That's all people talk about. We hate to admit it, but that's just what it's all about. You know who's the last guy put in the Hall of Fame, right? Limestone Kid, right? Yeah, you know about it. You heard it on the news. You haven't watched the news. You didn't see anything, right? You wasted some time by watching the news, but that's all right, isn't it? But think about everything that goes through our mind that we memorize and we know all about, but little about God. No wonder we got chaos in the world. No wonder we got chaos in our lives. No wonder we got chaos in our churches. No wonder we got a mission full of people. Because God is secondary. The only time I need God is when I want to get married and somebody to bury me. I mean, that's the truth. You'd be surprised how many calls I get. I want to get married. Well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't. Well, don't bother me, you know. But I use that as an opportunity to witness. But what I'm saying is, well, so-and-so passed away, but we don't have a church and we don't have a pastor. Would you bury him? I don't know why the courthouse hadn't learned to do that. They marry him. Why don't they bury him, you know? But think about it for a moment. Everything that saturates your mind and my mind, is it of God? It's not of God because we spend a little time in the book. I mean, I had a young man say to me just last week, and I thought this guy spent time in the Word. Well, he says, and he goes to one of our evangelical churches. He says, well, I open my Bible on Sunday morning, not during the week. I said, you heathen. Of course, I was real nice, you know. And I know him well enough I could do that. I said, how do you know what God wants you to do? If you're just going to get a little bit on Sunday morning? I said, it's like showing up work one day a week and expect a 40-hour paycheck. Think for a moment. God says we need to meditate upon the Word. In order to meditate upon the Word, these are five things we need to do. One, hear the Word. And we do that on Sunday morning. We do it. We got Christian radio. Many of my friends overseas said, oh, I wish I had the Christian radio you've got in America. We need to saturate ourselves with hearing the Word. Secondly, we need to read the Word. If you aren't having a constant, consistent, daily Bible reading, you're failing. You're not going to get an A+. Because how do you know what God wants us to do? You see, we need to realize that this is God's love letter to mankind. He gave it to us because he loves us. I said to the young man that didn't read his Bible, and he looked down on it Sunday morning, I said, when you met your wife and she sent you a letter, did you read it? Apparently not. No, he said, I read every one of them. I said, well, God sends you a love letter and you don't want to read it? Read the Word of God. That's one thing that I've learned in my own personal life, and I'm just being honest. For years, I didn't read consistently, and then for years, I've made myself, discipline myself to read, and I try to read slowly, and so much Old Testament, so much New Testament, so much Psalms and Proverbs, every day. Now, I don't take a lot of time. You can still get in your favorite baseball game, you know. But try it, and you'll find that you'll be thinking about those things during the day or meditating upon those things. Or pick a verse a week and memorize it. I challenged my Bible study on Wednesday morning. I said, okay, we're going to go through the book of Ephesians, and each chapter we're going to pick a verse, and that's going to be a verse we're going to memorize for the week. Now, these guys are very successful in business. I said, if you don't memorize it, you're buying breakfast. And that's six of us. One guy got caught last week. He had to buy breakfast. One guy kept his mouth shut. But we're going to get him this week if he don't have his verse. He's buying breakfast. I'm going to have cheap breakfasts for, I think, about 6 weeks, you know, till they get to knowing the verses, you know. But they're not hard. You say, well, I can't memorize. Baloney. You can memorize, I know, like anybody else. Then he says we need to study the Word. Think what you're reading. Don't just read it and pass it on, but think it through. And then the nasty one that we say we can't do, and that's memorize the Word of God. We memorize anything we want to memorize. All of us. There's many ways to memorize. 3x5 cards in your pocket. Stick it on the dash of your car. Stick it on your sink at home. But you'd be surprised as you start memorizing the Word of God. And we've lost this in the church. We've lost it in our own lives as individuals. And we wonder why we get into all these other meditation things when we're not meditating on the Word of God, because we're not memorizing it. I remember a 94-year-old man one time said to his grandson, what verse did you memorize this week, son? He still was memorizing the Word of God at 94. So don't tell me age doesn't make any difference. No, it don't. You do what we want to do. Same with the guys on the mission. They'll say, I can't memorize. Every one of them memorizes. Guys at Victor Acres memorized in 12 months 100 verses. And every book of the Bible. No one's ever failed it. Except the guy that quit and left. But the guys that finished the program can do it. Every one of them. Some of them can't hardly read. In this generation, there's people that can't hardly read. But they memorize the Word of God. And you know what they tell me? It keeps me from stinking thinking. That's interesting. Memorize the Word of God. And then fifthly, meditate upon what you learned and studied and memorized. Think it through. Read it slow. Grasp what God is trying to say. Meditation in the heart, day and night. It's important. Now I want to give you 9 techniques of meditation. Very simple, the first one. Meditate when you're awake. You know, that's pretty easy to do, isn't it? No, it's not. You'd be surprised how many distractions we get in our life when we're awake. And it gets us to think about things that we don't need to be thinking about. Meditation in the shower, huh? Sing. Quote a verse. All the technology we got, we can have scripture verses on our phone. I shared these thoughts with a group one day, and a man was out hunting with his son. And his dad kept texting the kid and wanted to know if he'd seen anything and gotten anything yet. And he said, no. He said, Dad, quit texting me. Meditate on the Word of God you got on your phone. He got the message, and his dad didn't. But we have access so easily to the things of God. The psalm was said in 143:8, it says, let the morning bring me words of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you, and you showed me the way that I should go. For to you I invest my life. Every morning we crawl out of bed. We need to meditate upon the things of God instantly. I don't know about you. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. But when I get up in the morning and I stand up beside the bed, I thank God I can stand up. You know? Because I had one morning a few weeks ago, I got out of bed and I couldn't stand up. I staggered all over the house. I didn't know what was wrong. Well, and I took my blood pressure and I figured out what was wrong. So you know what that means? Another pill. You know? So I take another pill and so far it's okay. But we need the first thing out of bed. Thank God the sun came up. You saw it. That's meditation. Meditate on these things. Meditate during the day with the Lord, number two. Have that moment sometime during the day when you read the Word of God and think it through and meditate upon it. Daily time in the Word. I challenge you, if you're not doing it, you will find one of the richest blessings in your life just taking a few moments and read the Word of God. I generally don't get it done in the morning. I have a habit. If I don't fall asleep, let's put it that way. I come home at 5 generally. I eat my supper. Now in the summertime, my wife don't get me till 5:30 for supper. We've got this all worked out. Then I pick up the paper, and I find look at all the obituaries in case I was in it. And then when I get down to the paper, I sit and read my Bible. I think about those things. At the end of the day, I like to do it kind of at the end of the day. It's kind of like downtime. Work it out. Works best for you. Meditate when you drive. You ever do that? You know what we do when we get in the car? Turn the radio up, right? Going to get some spiritual insight for the morning. Why don't you just shut it off? Get in the car, quiet. Nobody there to talk to you. Just talk to God. Think about the sermon on Sunday, or think about the Bible study on Sunday morning, or think about a message that you heard, or memorize a verse. Ooh, that would be something different, wouldn't it? You probably won't break the speed limit when you're doing this, because you're concentrating on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can do it when we drive. I go from Victory Acres to the downtown mission. It's 13 miles. I can do it in about 20 minutes if the traffic's all right. And I never turn the radio on, hardly ever. I just talk to God. Talk about the beautiful day. I talk about God give me wisdom for the day. I mean, just spending time. Take time to do that. You can do it, girls, when you're doing laundry. You can do it when you're doing dishes. Turn the stupid television off. I know people get up in the morning, the TV's on, till they go to bed, and then they go to the bedroom and they turn another one on. You talk about filling your mind with something good? Baloney. I know people that can't leave their cell phones away alone on time to get up till they go to bed, and they have to have it at every meal table. How are you going to saturate your mind with the things of God? Have that drive time. When you travel, when you fly. You know, I found out the fastest way to make a trip go by when I'm flying is just take my Bible and read for 3 hours. Just solid. When's the last time you did that? Just read the book for 3 hours. Just take a book of the Bible. When we went on the cruise this summer that was given to us for supposedly retirement, but I think that was the wrong motive, but they made me work more. But I'd get up in the morning. My wife didn't get up when I got up because, well, first of all, I was landlocked on a boat. And that's like locking a dog in a doghouse, you know. I didn't have no place to go. So I'd get up and I'd go to the observation deck and take my Bible and just read before my wife would get up and we'd go to have breakfast. But it's amazing. I read books of the Bible just in that time. And I had no interruptions. I had no cell phones. No one could get a hold of me. I couldn't use my phone. I couldn't use computers because nothing worked out in Alaska in the ocean, you know. But just God and me. It was awesome. Walking through a whole book. So there's another opportunity. God tells us that we need to meditate upon the things of God when we go to bed at night. If you saturate your mind with the things of God, what happens when you lay down and you wake up in the middle of the night? What do you think about? What you go to bed watching or reading is what you'll think about in the middle of the night. You know where I learned that principle? Back when I was in college. If I wanted to get a good grade on an exam, The last thing I would do was I'd study that test before I went to bed. I could wake up in the night, and I could give you the outline. I knew the guy was going to ask for questions and answers because I'd memorized it per near just about, but I'd thought it through, and it would come back to my mind, and I'd go over it, and all my points I would get. The next day, I'd get an exam, and that's the questions he'd asked. It was amazing. If I didn't do that, I didn't do very good on the exam. But saturating our mind with the truths of God. Meditate when you take a walk. A lot of people walking today. You know, I'm kind of like the guy asked a fellow one day, do you walk and exercise? Nope. He said, God told me I got so many breaths and so many heartbeats, and that's all I'm going to get, so why abuse them? Well, I never looked at it that way before, but that was his excuse, you know. But we think about the opportune times you can just walk with God. I've got guys that walk in the morning and just quote scripture, the verses they've learned. That's all they do. Or they make that their prayer list time when they're walking. So there's another opportunity. Notice God's creation when you walk. And then meditate when you feel lonely. Wow. Lonely moments, huh? The psalmist writes to us over and over again, the book of Hebrews, when you're by yourself, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. Isn't it awesome that we can have a relationship with God who doesn't hide, who doesn't have to have long seances to get a hold of him? It's moment by moment communication. And I think that's the thing we need to have in the family of God, in the church of God today, is learning to spend all of our moments with God in mind. No matter what you're doing, it's amazing. It'll determine what TV programs you watch too, by the way, or what you watch on the computer. If you're meditating on the things of God and thinking about God when you're on the computer. And that's another reason we need to do it. Psalmist 119, verse 148 says, my eyes stay open through the watches of night, that I might meditate on your promises. Why do you suppose you can't sleep at night? Because you got vertigo? No? But I've learned this trick. When I wake up at night, I just talk to God. I pray. And then I say, oh God, can you give me just 2 more hours of sleep? And sometimes I go right back to sleep. But it's an opportunity to think about what God has done for me. And I like the way our bed is in the bedroom because it's right near a window. And generally I can see the moon at night and the stars. And I just lay there and just look at God's creation. It's awesome. Meditation. Think about the things of God. Psalms 19:4 says, the word of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Wow. How's our speech? What's our thought life? Joshua 1:8, we probably memorized it. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but you shall meditate on it night and day, so that ye may be careful to do according all that is written in it. For then he will make your way prosperous, and you will have success. Wow. We sing a lot of music today, but some of the old hymns, such as Victory in Jesus, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Think about it for a moment. What are you meditating on? Don't empty your mind. Fill it. Fill it with God's truth. And we have the technology today through radio, through television, through cell phones, through computers, that we can constantly do this. But there's no substitute for just sitting, reading the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, and then doing it in the presence of family members, friends and loved ones, because it'll not only impact your life, but it'll impact their lives. I mean, what does our kids and grandkids know about us? Do they notice that we are people who read the Word of God and memorize it, meditate upon it? We can tell them all the baseball scores, all the great baseball players, all the TV actors. We can give them all the statistics of all this stuff. But are we giving them the things of God? And that's what's lacking in the church in America. Lack of spiritual meditation. How you doing? Good for the goose, good for the gander. I have to ask myself that question too. You know, we're running out of time. The Lord's coming. The world's shaping fast. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at the world and I think, wow, any moment now, I may hear a horn. People say, well, we've always had it this way. No. No greater disasters than we've had in the world. There's no peace anywhere. The only peace is right here in the heart of man with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the world will never have peace until he rules and reigns in our lives and in the world.